Who believes the devil would tell you that church is boring? Church is not boring. You know, I have a title for today's message called Why Miracles? Why Miracles? And as I started to study for this scripture, this message, I'm telling you, there's so much material in the Bible. So many scriptures. I had a little bit of a difficult time choosing the ones that I was speaking. So, in honor of God, I just chose them all. Settle in, it's about 2 hours. I'm kidding. I've got over 6 pages. So, buckle up. Why miracles? Jesus asked this question in the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter, in the 47th verse. He said, "Will you never believe in me unless you see signs and wonders?" Will you never believe in me, this is the New Living Translation, unless you see signs and wonders? It's written that the Jews, Israelites, seek a sign, Greeks seek wisdom. Well, he's speaking right there that obviously signs and wonders cause people to believe, doesn't it? Have any of you have any trouble paying attention? Never anybody have that issue? I should see every head looking like a bobblehead doll right now. You know. Yeah, exactly. How many times have you had to back up a video with today's ability? Yeah. You know, you think you're so interested in what's on that video that you just got to see it. And sure enough, pretty soon you're off there thinking about a chore or something you want to do. Absolutely mindless activity, and there you are thinking about it. So you back the video up, you run out and get your cup of caffeine of choice, and come back and you reset and you try again, you know. Only to back up again. When we're doing that mindless chore, we turn on worship and podcasts today to listen, to hear, and do our chores. Listen, I am not criticizing any of this. I am not. This is who we are. This is who we are. What we do today, it's what we do. And there's nothing, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying any of that. It's just where we are as people. We fill our lives the best we can every day. We put things in it and we do it. And then we'll take a week off and we'll pay big dollars, big bucks for somebody to entertain us, you know, when we go on vacation. You know, we go to venues, and what do they do at a venue? When they start, whether it's a concert or a play or whatever, they turn out all the lights in the auditorium, don't they? And why did they do that? They want your attention. They tell you to turn your cell phones off, you know, because they want your undivided attention. Heather Lynch, I don't know if you've ever heard of Heather Lynch, but she is a psychologist professor at Texas A&M, well-renowned college. And she specializes in this subject, boredom. Amazing, huh? Professor. Teaches on boredom. And she believes this. This is her quote, that a certain amount of boredom is actually good for us. She says, it frees up brain space for creativity. What do you think? You need some brain space for creativity? I know this, power nap's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Yeah, it really is. Alert and alive afterwards. I can't imagine having a job where I talk about when dealing with people is their boredom. And here's a professor at a very well-known university, and that's her specialty. I simplify here, but the point is valid. You know, I believe with all my heart that this is a spiritual issue. Because you see, boredom leads to depression. And that's one of the biggest and most critical, hard-fought diseases we have today. And I believe it is a disease. And I also believe this, that you need more than psychological and physical help to overcome it. I believe it's a spiritual issue, boredom. And there's only one healer in this life that can heal that, right? Yeah. Holy Spirit says this, Proverbs, the 6th chapter, verses 10 and 11, New Living Translation. Verse 10, a little extra sleep, a little more slumber, and a little folding of the hands to rest. Verse 11, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Guys, this isn't just talking about financial. Poverty of spirit. Poverty of soul, of body, all comes from it. It's much more than just dollars in our pocket. Poverty of life. You know, I got a story. I ran into a friend from the sign shop this past week. We were going there. I don't remember what we were going to get. But we were walking in, and there he was sitting in his car. He was listening to music, and his wife was inside getting something. Anyway, as I talked to him, I asked him how he was doing, and found out he retired about 6 months ago. And so as I talked to him, he said, you know, I'm really tired of painting rooms in the house. He said, I need to go get me another job. I'm really tired of painting those houses. You know, if you talk to any state of Missouri employee, there's one date that they have firmly in mind. You know what that date is? Retirement date. The old golden handcuffs, man. It's how you keep you employed. Yeah. You know, and I've talked to so many of them, and I'll be honest with you. One of the questions I usually ask myself, what do you have for plans? You know, because you can't retire to nothing, can you? Amen. Yeah, you can't do it. And I'm going to ask, what are you going to do? And I have always been shocked. Some of them have plans, but they're like this guy. I'm going to repaint rooms in my house. Well, how long is that going to take? Well, that can take a while if you're as fast as I am. But, you know, it's not long. It's not long, and pretty soon you're through with that. You know what I did? I rebuilt a bunch of retaining walls around the house. I've never been so glad to quit something in all my life, you know. But he was going to go get another job because he was getting bored. And who knows, boredom comes quick. You see, retirement can't be the end all, can it? And when you talk to many of them, it's like, it's nirvana, man. Once I'm retired, I got it. And you don't. Not it. Did God ever intend for us to be bored with this life? It's easy to say no to that, isn't it? I believe this. Many have left the church because they are bored with it. I believe that. I believe it's just what happened the same in the Old Testament with many who did the daily sacrifices in the temple. They become very bored with it. What do you think about this? What do you think about it? I believe this, that Jesus today is infusing new life into his church. I believe this, that, you know, I heard a minister speak this, been a long time ago. And he said, when you come here, he said, you get hot bread. You know what he's talking about. You're getting a fresh word from the Lord, right? As opposed to stale bread. Who knows you can live on stale bread? You can. Not very much fun, but you can live on it. But who likes hot bread? Yeah. What would have happened if Jesus had become bored with his ministry? Think about that. What would have happened? Where did Jesus go to be entertained? He sure didn't go to Six Flags Over Missouri. How did he maintain a zest for life? What did he do? We know some things, you know. You know, Jesus, so many times we see him as Savior and Almighty God, and he is that. But he was man here. He did the same things we do. He ate food. He drank liquids. He slept at night. He took baths, however he did it, whether he went into a mitzvah or he, you know, dipped into a creek or spit bath. But he did that. He did all that. Matthew, the 14th chapter, in the 23rd verse, says this, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. I believe this was some of his time of refreshing. He didn't always do this, but I think this was some of what he did. Maybe one key. John, the 4th chapter, in the 32nd verse, says this. Jesus, speaking to the disciples after he's had this long discussion with the Samaritan woman at the well. You remember the story. He said, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Who knows? There's nothing boring about a delicious meal. Sitting down to a good, you know, I'm a meat eater. Just wonderful. Well, Jesus said, I have food which you don't know anything about. Who believes Jesus absolutely knew his purpose for life while he was here? He absolutely knew. He knew what he was to do. He knew his God-given assignment, what he was due on the face of the earth. And he said this, guys, this is really interesting. John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse, and I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. He says, the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. I want to add a word to each one of this. The thief's purpose is to steal life, to kill life, and destroy life. My purpose, he said, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Who'd like a rich and satisfying life? Oh, glory. Rich and satisfying. Doesn't sound boring to me, does it, you? I have a 20-year-old statistic here. So it's probably double what it was when this was created. Over 20 years old. Americans spend over $10 billion a year on games of chance. Wow. Imagine $10 billion. Let's just double it to what it probably is today. $20 billion. Guys, that doesn't even include weddings or elections. That's supposed to be humorous. You know, it doesn't sound to me like a lot of people are living rich and satisfying lives, does it? If we're spending that kind of money on games of chance. We've become so convinced as a society that money is the rich and satisfying needed. You know, needed. Whatever it is. Be satisfied, to be happy, to be content. And obviously that's not it. Is there anything boring about signs and wonders, guys? There isn't, is there? Love to see them. One of the reasons we come here on a daily, on a weekly basis. See if God's got a plan for a miracle today. I want to speak first, as we start to look into this, why miracles. I want to talk about doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons. You know, Solomon was an extremely wise, says so, and talked extensively about this life and what this life was about. And he came to conclusions that would be very depressing for all who would enter into this life and go through this life without a supernatural relationship with God, because that's what he did in this comparison. And he said this in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter and the 15th verse, New Living Translation. I have seen everything in this meaningless life, including death of good young people and the long life of the wicked. Meaningless life. Wow. He was saying, I am bored with this life. And he had the most wealth of any man. He had everything a man could want, or a woman. What was he accusing our Creator of? Creating something that was boring and meaningless. That's what he was doing. He thought he had seen everything. He thought he'd seen everything. And I'd say the very essence of signs and wonders are new things. Are they not? Yeah. See, only the devil would dare accuse God of creating something meaningless, of being boring. Absolutely a doctrine of demons. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Another doctrine that's alive and well today that comes from the enemy. It's in today's church. And it's this. And it was much more prevalent a few years ago than it is today, but I believe it's still in the church today, and it leads many to a falling away in the church, and it's called cessationism. You know what that is? That's a fancy word for this doctrine. And it states that prophecy, speaking in tongues, healings, and miracles ceased with the passing of the original apostles. You see, I believe this. It fits man's ego. Because, you see, if I don't have it, it doesn't exist. If I don't have it, doesn't... I don't have $1 million. It exists. You got a spare, you know, let me know. What happens if we just take prophecy out of the church, guys? Let's say we just take one of those little things and try to take that out of the church. What happens? You see, there's no more getting a word from the Lord. It's the very heart of prophecy is miracle understanding. Something beyond our natural understanding. It absolutely denies the moving of Holy Spirit in a man's life. Have you got some scriptures running through your head right now telling you what's wrong with this doctrine? I hope so. Because this is alive and well in today's church. That it's all over. That it doesn't happen anymore. It can steal all the life of hope and joy that we have in the church today. If we have to obey God's word in our own natural ability, we are doomed for failure. There's not a one of us who are able to live up to the commands of our God under our own natural ability. Just not going to happen. Signs and wonders are God's signature on this life. Exodus, the 7th chapter, the 3rd verse from the New Living Translation. But I will make Pharaoh's heart stubborn so I can multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. He does wonders and signs so man knows it's him. All through the Old Testament, from one end to the other, is one miracle, one sign, one wonder after another. The Old Testament is just absolutely filled with them. The prophet Isaiah prophesied this, that his existence and that of the Israelites were a sign and wonder from God. Just that. Have you ever thought about the nation of Israel and the people, the Jews, the Israelites? They're still here. They're still here. Where are the Amalekites? Where are the Philistines? Where are they, guys? They don't exist anymore. He says this in Isaiah 8:18. Here I am and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Zion. Just their existence that they're here is a sign and a wonder from God. There they are, staring every man, woman, and child in the whole world right in the face. A sign of God. Daniel, when he was rescued from the mouth of the lions in the lion den, said it this way. You remember the story. He was bowing and the king threw him in the den because he'd made a decree at the behest of some folks who were trying to get Daniel killed. Threw him in there. And he lived in the den. They slid a stone over the opening and he came running up. Daniel, has the God you serve saved you? And he had. And the king said this, Daniel the 6th chapter, verse 27. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. It's his signature. It's his signature on our lives. Miracles, signs, and wonders. From the beginning of life on, God does that in our lives. He does things. So it's a sign to us. Being born again is the biggest miracle of all, is it not? That he can take a living soul and then grow up. And we heard a bit of a testimony at the Wing Ding at the Phasia. And this late girl who was at Healing House, and where she was, and she came to herself in a jail cell and said, I got to quit living like this. I got to quit living like this. Grown woman, been through a lot of life. I don't want to steal her testimony because it's not mine, it's hers. But God can change a soul. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. It doesn't matter to him. He can get on the inside of us and change us. What a mighty, mighty miracle. Do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who were thrown into the fire? Thrown in there by King Nebuchadnezzar. Violent man. Very violent man. He built a statue 90 feet tall. Have you ever thought about that? 90 feet tall. He built a statue of gold 90 feet tall. Guys, there's not a building in Jefferson City 90 feet tall. That's how big that thing was. And he told everybody in his nation, listen, when the musicians play to this thing, you're to get down on your knees and bow and worship that statue of me because I'm God and you got to worship me. And if you don't, I'm going to throw you in the furnace of fire. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, guess what they didn't do? They didn't bow down, did they? And they got thrown into the fire. And when they got thrown into the fire, they'd been heated many times hotter. There was what? A fourth man walking around with them. Down there in that fire. What a sign and wonder. What an amazing thing. And here's what Nebuchadnezzar did when he saw, he heard about them. He said, then Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel, the third chapter and the 13th verse, New Living Translation, flew into a rage and ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. And then after they walk around, the fire doesn't touch on them. He says this. This is a man who would have people thrust through with a sword at the drop of a hat. He felt himself a god, that if anybody said he said anything or did anything, they would obey that command. And he said this about that event. Daniel, the fourth chapter, second and third verse, speaking to his entire kingdom. O Nebuchadnezzar, I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs? How powerful his kingdoms? His kingdom will last forever. His rule for all generations. He recognized God's signature, the sign and wonder. It was for God's glory alone and not for Nebuchadnezzar's that this happened. But he believed it was, and that his servants might be saved. All good for the Old Testament, right? How about New Testament signs and wonders? God's signature. I want to take just a moment here and talk about signs in our life. And all I can do is give you testimony about things that have happened in my life recently. You know, when I have a sign in my life, it's not always a miracle. We gathered Thursday night at Faye's for a Bible study. They have a great Bible study on Thursday night. And while we were in there, people just got to talking about different items, different things. And it really wasn't about the scripture we were studying. But they started talking about why people were leaving church, saying all kinds of things. And I'm listening to him preaching this sermon. I'm listening to him talk about it. Now, to anybody else, it didn't mean anything. But to me, God was saying, this is what I once said. He does this so many times, guys. We'll be singing songs and worshiping in here. And the words will be about my message. And to everybody else in here, we're just worshiping, right? But God's speaking to me, and it's a sign. He's no respecter of persons. Are you listening? Are you watching? Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are not always miracles. I mean, that's where we always go because we all want them. We all want healings, don't we? But he's speaking to us. We got to tune up our ears to hear what he says. And most of the time when he's speaking, it's not a miracle. Let's look at a couple of them in Scripture. Mark, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? What was the sign? A man carrying a pitcher of water. Now, that's unusual. Why is it unusual? Women normally carried the pitcher of water back in that day, but it was a man carrying. Is that a miracle? Man can carry a pitcher of water. That's not the miracle. What's the miracle? The miracles that Jesus told his disciples, you'll see that. You'll see that. You'll go into town and you'll see him. Follow him. He's going to show you where to prepare for the Last Supper. The only ones who knew it was a miracle were those disciples who saw it happen. And it was an absolute miracle, absolute sign. Yet it wasn't a miracle, per se. One more. And this is the biggest. We've sung about it this morning. Sign. Most important sign. In Luke, the second chapter, in the 12th verse. And it's God's sign to shepherds. Let me ask you a question. How many shepherds were in the field that night? There was a whole lot more than those two or three tending that flock. There were hundreds that night. Verse 12. And this will be a sign, be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Is that a miracle? Well, we know it was a miracle. But could we wrap babies in swaddling clothes and lay them in a manger today? We can. That itself is not a miracle. What was the miracle was what happened all around that virgin birth. The Son of God came, Emmanuel, God with us. Today. It happened. Who believes God's word? Yeah. This all happened. It really did. It really happened. It really happened. Jesus was laid down in swaddling, wrappings of some kind of cloth, and laid in a manger when he was born. And angels showed up out in the field somewhere, chose one group of shepherds out there and said, you're close enough, and came and witnessed to them about the sign that Jesus was over there in Bethlehem. Remember singing in O Little Town of Bethlehem tonight? We were here, we were singing a little, and I'm telling you, God is my witness. As we sang that song, God took me back to Bethlehem when we visited over a year ago. I was standing on the streets in Bethlehem, seeing what I saw that day. And he spoke some words to me about it. Did you see it? You didn't see it, did you? Do you believe me? Signs and wonders. I asked him for some. He did one. I can tell you about it. But until you experience them yourself, until God does a miracle and a sign to you, I want to tell you, I have had miracle healings. Yeah. He has done things in my life that only God can do, that nobody else can do, and He can do them. I laid in a bed when I was a young man, and I would writhe in pain with headaches. So severe I would throw up. I went to the doctor and he was scared. He thought I probably had a tumor. I could tell the way the doctor acted. I was so sick sometimes. I'd be fine for a while and then all of a sudden here'd come this stupid headache. And it was so bad I couldn't stand any light. I would curl up sometimes in a fetal position. It hurt so bad. And a man had a word of knowledge. He said, headaches are being healed. And here I am today. I don't have them anymore. Only God. Don't doubt, right? Don't doubt. And He does them for why? His glory. His glory. His glory. Some miracles. Signs, wonders. Jesus did them while He was here to fulfill prophecy. Jesus read this, and it comes from Isaiah, the 61st chapter, verses 1 through 3. And He stood in the synagogue one day, and He read this on the Sabbath. And it was in his hometown, and they were going to stone him for it. Now, I want to say something about Shabbat. And I learned this while I was over there. But one thing they do when they have Shabbat is they have scripture reading. Somebody will get up and read scripture reading. So it was Jesus' turn, and they handed him the book. And they handed him the book of Isaiah. Now, why'd they hand it to him, that book? It's because they go through it every year. They read the same process every year. When they go to Shabbat, they know where the reading's going to come from. And it just so happened, it was a coincidence, right, that this was the scripture that Jesus was going to read from that day. You guys know the scripture I'm going to read.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Let's see if I can find where I'm at here. Luke, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse and the 19th verse. This comes from Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then if you go on down to verse 21, it says, and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Coincidence? I don't think so. Sign and wonder? Absolutely. He heals the brokenhearted. He sets at liberty those who are captive to sickness. He opens the prison doors of those who have broken bodies and broken souls and sets them free. And the reason all is in Isaiah, the 61st chapter, and verse 3, if you go on down, it says, that he may be glorified. It just soaks, doesn't it? It soaks into your spirit. It goes down in, you can feel it changing things on the inside. It stretches who you are on the inside to realize it's why he came to do this. Signs and wonders and miracles, it's why he's here. It's why it's a doctrine of demons for cessationism. Only they would dare say that. God's a supernatural God. He's never done anything natural in his life, I think. It's all supernatural. My God, deny him? What are you saying? Anyway, I got to be quiet. And in another place, the 8th chapter, verses 16 and 17. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. Doubt, get out. And healed all who were sick. Glory. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities. He took them. He's got it. Why you got it, right? We all struggle with that. And bore our sicknesses. This is signs and wonders fulfilling prophecy. Wow. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. His signature. It's proof that Jesus is who he says he is. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a savior. He's a miracle working God. You know, John the Baptist. You know John. Oh, I've read about him. He was a prophet, forerunner of Christ, greatest man who ever lived. Yet signs and wonders were never associated with his ministry, were they? When you read through it, just weren't. The miracle that happened around John was repentance of sins, which is a miracle. When a man can bow down and repent of things he's done wrong, it's a miracle. But after his arrest, remember Herod grabbed him? Herodias didn't like him because he told Herod he couldn't have his brother's wife. But he's in prison, and he gets to questioning because he's setting them in prison. And he sent some of his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one?" Listen to what he says. Jesus says in response. This is quite eye-opening. Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 2 through 6. He said, John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. He heard about all the things he was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah?" I mean, they've been waiting for thousands of years. We've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? And Jesus told them, "Go back to John and tell him what you've heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And tell him, God blesses those who do not turn away because of me." You see, Jesus is a rock of offense. John had already heard about all this. He already knew all this, and yet he kind of questioned. He was in prison, and there was no miracle ahead for John, was there? Other than getting to go to heaven. Boy, healing is not only our bread, it's God's signature on our lives. You see, it's what you've heard and seen. And don't turn away because of Jesus. Scripture says, don't turn away because of the offense that comes with knowing Jesus. You run into people, and they're going to say things, and it's going to be very, very offensive. But this is a sign and wonder that you don't turn away, but you believe. You know, the raising of Lazarus, I told there was much scripture. The raising of Lazarus was such a miracle. It sent the whole religious world at the time into an absolute frenzy that Lazarus was raised from the dead. It was a witness of the power of the kingdom of heaven and who Jesus is. In the 11th chapter of John, the 39th to the 43rd verse, I'm going to read New Living Translation. It says, Jesus told him, "Roll the stone aside." But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." And in the natural, it would. Verse 40, Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside, and Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." Who'd like to have been there that day? See that man wrapped up in funeral clothes, because you know, when they'd wrap a man up in funeral clothes, cloths that day, they would wrap him up like in a cocoon, head to toe. And then they'd pour spices over that wrapping. And those spices would turn very hard. So he not only was wrapped up, he was sealed up, signed and delivered, man. And they poured the spices on to keep the smell from overwhelming. So they said, "Don't roll that stone aside, Jesus. It's going to smell so bad." And here he comes stumbling out the door of that cave. And he said, "Undo him, let him loose." And he's saying that to us today. Be undone and let loose unto society. Receive what God's doing for each one of you today. The miracle that is your life. He's done signs and wonders in your life. And you know what he wants? To do a whole lot more. He's just getting started. I said this earlier. But I believe God's about to turn loose on this world an anointing of His Holy Spirit that's going to change everything for every one of us. The desires we have up here stones. We put those up about a year ago, and those represent prodigals. And I would ask each one of you that were here that night and put that up, put your name or whoever it was. That prodigal comes home, take the stone down. And I would say to the rest of you, if you got a prodigal you're praying for, and the stone, you don't have stone up there, write his name on it. Put it up there. Because we'll pray over that ever so often. Lazarus, come out. You see, Jesus needed one more miracle. God wanted one more miracle and witness that He is God, not only of miracles, signs, and wonders, but over death. God is the God over death. Lazarus was stone cold dead. 4 days in that grave. And he come trucking out of there and lived the rest of his life. That men will believe in him. John 2:23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. You know, one of the signs he's given us today grates against many, and they don't like it. And it's this, Acts, the second chapter, verses 14 through 22. And it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk.'" And why did they think they were drunk? They were speaking in tongues, prophesying the miracles and glory of God. "Heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days." Who knows, we've been in the last days. Remember, a day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day with God. Only been a couple days since this happened. Only been a couple days. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." That's you. That's me. "And on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Yep, that's you. "I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming a great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass," this has come to pass, "that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You got a lost one? You got one that doesn't know that hell is hot and heaven is real? All you've got to do is call on the name of the Lord. He will come and save. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by wonders, miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know." And this continues today. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Why? It's God's signature, guys, on your life and a witness to those who you come in contact with. It's for God's glory when it comes to pass. Excuse me. It's a witness to God. It's a blessing in our life. It makes our life rich and satisfying. Purpose for life. Boredom be gone. I have signs, wonders, and miracles operating in my life. Say that with me. I have signs, wonders, and miracles operating in my life. One more time. Mean it. I have signs, wonders, and miracles operating in my life. Don't doubt. Don't criticize. Don't judge. Don't let any doctrine of any demon come in and take it from you. I believe God does miracles, signs, and wonders that are personal, that only you know, that only you know, and He does that so you know His signature is on your life. You believe that? They're not a miracle to anybody else when it happens. Some of those, you know, we have some of those that happen. I mean, my headaches. Yeah. Anybody has those kind of headaches knows. What a miracle. I was one way and I'm another. I can lift this arm straight up. I had rotator cuff surgery a year ago, and within a month or two, I was lifting it up. And the doctor's looking at me, he says, well, look at you. He went in to went in there to reattach it, and he said, well, it wasn't torn after all. No, it was torn. God healed it. This man, I watched him walk with a cane. He couldn't get into the coffee shop. He looked like he's 90. Look at him today. Only 85. Signs, wonders, and miracles. I have bread that you know not of. That you can tell all these people that come around you. You have bread that they don't know anything of. The signature of God is on your life. You believe that? Receive it. Receive it today. Let's pray.